Business Insight, a weekly program of interviews and insights from some of the island's most respected business leaders on what drives their success.
And here we go, back once again for Business Insight after a break last Monday, the 13th of April. I'm Darren Fernando and I'm joined by Dale Howarth and our guest this evening, which will shortly be introduced, Maggie Curry. You may have heard her advert just a moment ago here on Vectis Radio. But first of all, kicking us off, let's hand over to Dale, who's got a motivational quote for us.
Thank you very much, Darren. Yeah, the quote this week is really two quotes brought together to reflect what we want to talk about with today's guest, Mary Curry. And they're quotes which so many people have claimed over the years, I didn't even try to attribute them to anyone. So what it's all about is, goals are dreams with deadlines, but a goal without a plan is just a wish. Setting goals in life, setting goals in business is vitally important. Certainly I remember back to my time as a student up at Cranfield, where one of my lecturers, Malcolm McDonald, used to say, always have a plan A and make sure you've got a plan B sat behind it. So planning is really important. And life goals is the subject for this Business Insight. Really pleased to have Maggie Curry along. I've known Maggie for an awful lot of years, and Maggie's been great supporter of what I do, work with some terrific people on the island. And I think you came to pretty much the first presentation I ever did on the island, Maggie,
many years ago.
At Key Arts, my 30 Lessons workshop, which people suffered through, I think, for about 2.5 hours. Oh. It seemed to go on and on, but very good event. So I've known Maggie pretty much since that time. So what I want to do now is just sort of turn over to Maggie and say, Maggie, will you just introduce yourself for the listeners that maybe haven't heard from you before, and just say a little bit about what you do?
Certainly. And good evening to you, Darren, as well.
Good evening, Maggie. Good to have
you.
Thank you. Basically, I'm a thought leader, a coach, a speaker, an author, and a survivor, if you like. I describe myself as a survivor. I help people who are experiencing challenging times caused by stress, relationships, divorce, family, life traumas, stuff like that. I've been through these sort of times myself, so I know what I'm talking about. And there's lots of people who may be feeling scared or anxious and overwhelmed and in despair, but I can help them. I can help them move on. I know what it's like. I've been there, I've done it, so I understand the fear. And I want people to know that it is possible to make a change, and that no situation, no matter how desperate, is insurmountable. And as Napoleon Hill says, don't wait, the time will never be just right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Wise words.
Indeed.
Hi, Maggie. Of course, you know, we know each other from previous radio work and business meetings.
Yes.
So, good to have you as a guest this evening. I know that name, I thought, when Dale said who was on this evening.
Yeah, no, it was great to get Maggie on. A bit of a thread running through as well.
Yes.
We're looking at the subject of life goals and coaching a few times in the programme. So in a few weeks' time, we'll have more guests coming on to pick up that sort of thread. But I was really keen to start off with Maggie. And I know we've once again had some great questions in.
We have indeed. A nice run of questions. Good evening to everyone who's written in. And we kick off, first of all, Robert Gordon in Hartlepool in County Durham, I do believe. He's got a question for Maggie. He says, I've tried several times to set clear goals for my life, but fail. I start with the best intentions, but then get distracted by life, family issues, work, and financial pressures. So my plan simply unravels. I lose momentum, and as soon as it's all lost in terms of positive changing my life, what tips do you have, please, regarding to setting goals and keeping them on track? Is there a proven way forward that works in a business and stressed life?
Interesting question.
Yeah.
The clue, actually, Robert, is in the question. If you're busy and stressed in your life, then setting goals and achieving them will reduce the stress in your life and in your work. So you've always got to use SMART goals, that's what I always say, which should be specific, what exactly do you want to achieve? Measurable, how will you know when you've achieved it? Achievable, is it within your capabilities? I mean, you can't say I'm going to fly to the moon, because you can't do that. Result focused, what result do you want? And time bound, by what date will you achieve it? And so your SMART goal could be, for instance, I will cut my working hours from 60 to 40 per week by August the 31st, 2015. I don't know if he does that amount of hours.
Nope.
But
probably.
But that is specific, measurable, achievable, result-focused and time-bound. But don't set yourself too many goals at once because you won't achieve them. Set little goals, and once you've achieved one little goal, give yourself a treat. It may be, I don't know, a hot bath for half an hour or on your own, or a pint of beer.
Is that a common problem, Maggie? People trying to set maybe too many objectives and therefore failing because they're taking too much on, or it all gets very confused?
They think they're failing because they get so far and then they don't reward themselves, so they think, oh well, I haven't really done very well, so I'll just give up. But the only person who can achieve the goals is you, Robert, so you have to not get distracted. It's no use saying, I get distracted by this, that or something else. The only person who gets distracted is you. It's your fault. You have to take responsibility for your life.
Right. And you mentioned their SMART goals as an acronym. Can you just run through what those elements are?
SMART is specific, measurable, achievable, result-focused and time-bound.
Excellent. Aye, very, very useful. And is more of that on your website, Maggie, if people
want
to vote?
It is, yes.
Okay, and the website is?
www.maggiecurry.co.uk.
So if they know your name, they can find you.
They can.
It's nice and easy.
Setting goals and achieving them in a way is like getting from A to B. It's all well and good saying I'm at A and I want to get to B, but it's the question, how do you get there?
Well, quite.
Yeah.
But you can't drive from here to Birmingham all in one go. You have to stop at traffic lights. You have to stop for refuelling. You have to do whatever it is.
Yeah.
And if it's dark, you can only go as far as you can see with front of the headlights.
Yes.
Yeah, and there aren't goals without barriers, you know, otherwise everyone will just walk up and achieve it. So anything you look to achieve in life, there's always some barrier that stands in the way. It may be your personal knowledge, your understanding.
Bit. Yeah.
And understanding.
Something that scares you and overcome it and learn. Okay, next question now.
Yeah. Next question from J.A. Platten here in Newport, who asks, what tips do you have to visualising goals? Some say just write them down. I've heard that taking photographs or images of what you want in life also helps to make it real. Also, associating these goals and how they would make me feel can work. I would appreciate your view on the best approach to this. I have some clear aims in life, but want to get this off to the best start.
That's a great question.
Indeed, yeah.
I love the answer too.
Okay.
For those of you who can visualise, and not everybody can, because I'm one of those who can't, make a picture in your mind of the goal that you want to achieve. For instance, if you want to be successful in your career, I'm talking to Darren here.
She's looking at you, Darren. Right.
Visualise yourself being that successful person. Make the picture as bright and colourful as you can. And listen to what you're hearing. See what you see. Hear what you hear. Add textures. Add colour. Make it bright. What are you wearing? What do you look like? What is your body language like? What are you going to look like when you've achieved this goal of whatever it is you want to achieve, to visualise? How are you standing? How are you feeling? How are you looking? Visualise this picture at least once a day. Add to it or take stuff away until you get it right just for you. And for those who can't visualise, there are many, many, me included, make a picture of what you want to achieve, a physical picture. You can cut pictures out of magazine, you can stick them on to make a collage, or you can do a drawing or a painting. And you can make it as bright and colourful as before, as I just mentioned before. Draw how you'd be standing, express in pictures how you'd be feeling and looking. Look at it every day, stick it on the wall. Even if you don't think you've seen it, your subconscious will have seen it, it will go in.
Gosh, I went on a workshop some years ago that looked at this subject of setting goals, and one of the things they gave us all to take away was a mouse mat, and the mouse mat had a clear pocket in it in which you could insert your different pictures of the car you wanted, the house you wanted, the holiday and so on. I don't think I've got it now unless it's tucked away somewhere, but
one thing to remember,
visualising it,
make sure you're in the picture.
Make sure you, good tip, make sure you're in the picture.
In the picture.
No, seriously, otherwise you could be visualising somebody else's goal.
Well, that was what I was going to say, because everyone's unique.
Absolutely.
And got their own specific goals as to what they want to achieve in life.
It's
not an off-the-shelf thing, obviously. No. So, you know,
it's not all about money and possessions. You know, that's the thing I find so frustrating
often,
people talk about success, and success for many people is purely how much money you earn. And, you know, money can be a terrible thing. It ruins so many lives. And money just for the sake of money is awful. You know, money with purpose is great, you know, so that you can have the holiday you've always wanted or the car. But, you know, the best things in life aren't things, is the saying.
Not necessarily, no.
The best things in life are free when you concentrate on what's precious to you.
Indeed. Yes. Yeah, it's not all about money. So, you know, move away from just the intrinsic value and the materialistic things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a difficult one because obviously if people wish to achieve a better life for themselves and be somewhere, there's always the financial restraints, of course, that stop people from doing it next week.
Not necessarily. I mean, if your goal is to spend a day on the beach once a month, mm-hmm. it's not going to cost you anything.
Yeah, and also I think people sometimes have a false perception of what sometimes things cost. I know they've done research in the past looking at people who've won the lottery, and prior to it they said, well, what would you do if you won the lottery? And people say, well, you know, I'd pay off my mortgage, I'd have a holiday, I'd have a car. Yeah. But if you add those things up, they're not actually the enormous sums of money people believe them to be. And so you can do an awful lot of things in life without having to have large amounts of money sat behind it. As Maggie said, if your dream is to sit on the beach for a day, then that will cost you nothing. Especially on the island, the only thing you'll have to do is decide which of the great beaches you're going to go to.
I enjoy doing
that. Go to all of them.
And do you find, Maggie, this whole issue of money is a real problem for people in terms of life goals, that so much revolves around money and income?
I haven't found that, no.
You haven't?
No.
Okay.
I haven't found that people want to earn money. They just want a better life.
As a goal. It's the things maybe that can do for you.
Comes back to the old saying that money cannot buy happiness.
No, I don't think it can.
You can get a lot with it, but it can't buy happiness.
No, there's a lot of very unhappy people out there that are very rich and lonely. Good question.
Okay. Well, hopefully that answered your question there, J.A. Platton in Newport. Moving on with some questions that are kind of linked. We've combined questions from Ashley Harris. Good evening, Ashley. And RT in Ryde on the island. And the first one, a question for Maggie Curry on Business Insight this week. Can you really trust a life coach to help you solve your problems, or is it all fluff? And could you ask your guest of Business Insight this, please? This comes from RT in Ryde. I run a small business on the island and have heard that someone like yourself can help in setting and maintaining focus on my goals and aims for the business. What is your view on a life coach working alongside someone like me in a business?
Interesting questions.
Is it all fluff, Maggie?
Yeah.
No.
Great word, fluff.
Some people may think it's fluff. I mean, that's entirely up to them. Everyone's entitled to their opinions. It's a very, very broad question, though. And my answer is it depends on the coach. I mean, it depends who it is. I mean, like any profession, there's always somebody you'll get on with and somebody you won't. A good coach will help you to find the answers to your problems and encourage you and support you all along the way to applying those solutions so that you can solve your problem. You have to find the right coach for you, and the coach has to find the right client for them. The relationship is totally important. And a business coach is something specific. I'm not a business coach. I'm happy to work with people who run businesses, but I'm not a business coach, but I can help them with their goals in their personal life. But as for business coaching, I'm no expert, so I can't really comment there.
And when you look at that as well, one of the points they lift up, and I think a question later on touches, is there's a lot of people with bad experiences out there. You know, not everyone has the experience that Maggie has, the professionalism, the approach that Maggie has. So people can set them up in Maggie's field, and I find it in mine. Anyone can call themselves a consultant.
Yes.
Anyone can call themselves a life coach. But there is a big, big difference
between the good ones and the bad ones. Between the two. Yeah. It works both ways.
Yeah.
You have to trust your client. They're going to implement what it is they say they're going to implement, and the client has to trust you that you're not going to lead them off in the wrong direction.
Yes. Yeah.
Has to be a rapport, obviously.
Absolutely.
Between the client and yourself. I mean, just briefly, have you ever had any clients that you know don't take heed to what you're saying to them? Have you ever had some awkward clients?
No, I haven't.
Well, that's a good track record there. Yeah.
Yep. So
that's never happened. It's always been people take on board, and you get some testimonials from this at the end where they've actually achieved the goals that they wanted to.
And how many clients may you be working with at any particular time, Maggie?
I tend to not work with more than two or three at a time because of the focus. Otherwise, you spread yourself.
And the way you
thin.
Work with each of those differs depending on their particular needs,
everyone's
circumstances.
Individual,
So some of
there's
that
a basic premise, but They're all individual.
So how much of that is sort of one-to-one, face-to-face, and how much is more remote using, you know, telephone, Skype, even emails?
That's a good one.
I don't do email coaching because that's you can't get any inflection in in your tone.
Yep.
So you can type something which sounds all right to you when you've typed it, but it could be taken the wrong way when you read it.
Very much so, and all text messages definitely fall into that category as well.
Text
being read the wrong way.
Skype is good because it can be just as good as one-to-one,
yep.
especially if you can see the person.
Yeah, and, of course, international clients, which I'm sure you've got as well.
Yeah. I've coached people in France, Australia, USA, all around the world. Phone is just as good.
Yeah. And how do they tend to find you, Meg? Is it referral, word of mouth, just the internet? What's the?
Some of it's word of mouth, some of it's Facebook, some of it's the internet, my website. It just depends.
Okay, and of course,
and some of them are just down the road.
Yeah, some local clients and referrals, of course.
Indeed, and it leads on well, really, to the next. Not really a question, more a little story from Gabrielle in Ventnor.
Good evening, Gabrielle.
Really pleased, Gabrielle, that you sent this one in. And Gabrielle says, "Great to see Maggie Curry on your show. When I heard Maggie was on, I had to write. I was given a copy of Maggie's book, 7 Stepping Stones to Rebuilding Confidence in Yourself, by my mother. She could see that it was my lack of confidence that was holding me back in life and making me make some bad choices. Your book changed this and really helped me to move my life forward, and I've made some really positive changes for myself and my son. I was also touched by your own story, which in many ways reflected aspects of my own life, so I could really relate to you. No questions, but I wanted to write to say a big thank you."
That's good, isn't
it? I mean, comes back to what you said before about, you know, people being happy with what you do. But a lot there. I know, certainly, Gabrielle, touching on one of your books, Maggie, but you've written a number of books, haven't you?
I've just finished my third, yes.
And is that the one that's currently with the publisher?
Yes, with the publisher at the moment,
And when's that one coming out? When can people go on and buy
that
one?
About 6 months, I believe.
Right, okay. And I think a lot of those book sales going through Amazon, which is such a popular platform now.
And Waterstones.
Yeah, and I know you do signings occasionally. I think I've got a couple of books that you kindly signed for
me. I did a signing at Waterstones, yes.
Will you be doing a signing for the new book when it comes out?
I don't know. I have to ask my publisher.
Oh, right, okay. So maybe everyone look out a little bit for that one.
Yes.
And the touching there a little bit on your own story. I don't know if you want to just touch on that for the listeners
in terms of
what Gabrielle's relating to.
My own story. I was in an abusive marriage for 10 years. I say abusive, it wasn't physical abuse, it was emotional, psychological, financial abuse. I thought it was normal, didn't know any different until I woke up one morning. I thought, this really can't be normal, and it wasn't. So I consulted a solicitor and said, is this normal? And he said, absolutely not. I think you should get out of that relationship. And so I took courage in both hands and off I went.
Right, and
taking 3 kids with me.
Yeah, and of course now we can embarrass your husband Kelvin,
who's
a wonderful guy, and I'm sure he is listening in at this particular moment.
Of course he is.
And you've been together quite a while now.
31 years.
A positive change in your life that's
absolutely
certainly gone on. And done some great things. I know you're very happy, and I think Kelvin's pretty happy as well.
He is, yeah.
That's a good
message.
Yes. I'm sure he agrees. But yes, a good message there, really, for people that are finding themselves in a similar thing. It just takes inner courage to actually get up and do something.
It does,
because when you know what it's like yourself, when you're downtrodden, you kind of lose that get up and go and self-determination. And that, I guess, what people need to find before they can do anything else.
And sometimes you just think it's normal.
Yeah. And
you don't realise it shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, it's taking that first step. I mean, in Gabrielle's case, her mother could see what she was going through and you know, happened to get Maggie's book, and that's the catalyst that started to affect the change in her life.
Sometimes it's difficult to say, though, isn't it? Say, read this book.
It is. But,
and you can see for yourself.
Worked in her case. So it's a great
success story there from Gabrielle and Ventnor. Thanks for listening this evening. Okay, 2 more questions then. Dave Billam. Business change in Reading. Good evening to you, Dave. Loving Business Insight. Great feature, he says. Checks in the post. Thank you very much. varied content and interesting down-to-earth guests. Well, sometimes. And there's a professional qualification for life coaches. That's his question, beg your pardon. As a full stop there, are there professional qualifications for life coaches? For example, like many areas of business, it seems that anyone can set up, you know, as a consultant, a mentor or life coach. Is this true? And if so, how do you differentiate the good ones from the bad? And how do you sit in this, Maggie?
Well, yes, there are definitely qualifications, Dave, and there are professional qualifications for life coaches. In fact, I think you can even get a degree now at university. I'm not entirely sure, but I trained initially on a distance learning course with Newcastle College, and then a physical course with residential units with the Coaching Academy with Jonathan Jay. Do you know Jonathan Jay?
I don't. Not someone I'm familiar with.
Then I trained with Dawn Breslin, who used to be the GMTV coach, apparently.
Right.
And then with, I don't know if you've heard of Enalta, they do NLP,
mm-hmm.
Neuro-linguistic programming. And I also trained up with an online coaching course at University that was an American-run thing. It was all online. We had weekly phone calls. Plus, I got over 10 years of experience of coaching, and I'm now a tutor for a life coaching diploma course via distance learning and have currently 15 students.
This will be a help to Margaret in Portswood as well, who says, "Hi Maggie, I'm thinking of becoming a life coach. Can you recommend any specific courses, which you mentioned some already and one that you're even doing now, or approach to moving into this field?" She's currently working in human resources but looking for a career change, sadly due to redundancy. So what would be your words of wisdom for Maggie?
Sometimes being made redundant can be a blessing in disguise. I mean, I've been made redundant from a job and I got a job elsewhere and it was absolutely magical. So, but there are many courses available, and distance learning online with regular phone sessions and physical courses with residential portions, which is local. Did you say?
Portswood,
just over the water, I believe.
There's Noble Manhattan, which is based in Dorset. I don't know whether they're any good or not, but I know they're, I think it's Gerard O'Donovan runs Noble Manhattan. So that may be something to look into. And there's several academies based in London, and there's distance learning schools such as the Blackford Centre. I'm not sure if Newcastle College is still doing courses. I mean, I did mine 10, 11 years ago, so.
So it's worth doing a little bit of research, isn't it?
It is,
go online,
yes.
But don't just take what you see online as gospel. So
no, but
look
one,
at what's
you
behind
will get
it,
drawn to one.
How long it's been established, look for recommendations, look for good referrals, good testimonials.
You look at this one, and you look at that one, and look at that one. You might go back to the middle one and think, that one appeals a bit more than that one.
Yep.
You will be drawn to one.
Because as Dave Billam said in his question just a second ago, is anyone can call themselves a consultant
can,
mentor or life
yes.
coach. So it'd be very easy
very
to...
Very key to look in. The recommendations, testimony. Because if you're paying a lot of money for the service, you need to know this person's 100% genuine.
But interestingly, I wrote a blog, Qualified versus Unqualified.
Right.
I don't know if you read it on my blog post. But there are some coaches who have never qualified and they're absolutely brilliant.
Yep.
Right.
There are some coaches who are highly qualified and they're useless. So.
Oh.
So what's the best way of trying to differentiate one from another?
It's whether you like the person, whether you like what they're saying, whether you trust them. Personally, I think they should be qualified, but that's just my personal opinion.
It's funny how that can happen. I mean, you know, in the world of life coaching, you know, to become a teacher or a doctor, you could know your stuff in your head, know what to do and everything else, but you know, not being qualified is a big no-no. But yet, I guess,
interestingly, there was a case a few years ago of a consultant anaesthetist, and he was slung out of the hospital because he'd never taken a medical qualification. But he'd got to become a consultant.
Wow. Well,
so you need to look into it. And as Ashley Harris said with the question a bit earlier, just try and avoid the fluff,
yes.
I think,
yes.
when you're looking at people.
Yes.
Stay sharp, in other words, avoid the fluff.
Indeed.
Okay, now, thanks everyone for your questions to Maggie this evening. But before we hand it back to Maggie to talk about a song and why she's chosen it, over to Dale with some networking events on the island coming. coming up.
Thank you very much, Darren. Yep, lots happening again. Next Tuesday, it's come around really quickly, is my event, Turning Contacts into Customers at Lakeside Park Hotel and Spa. The event is fully booked. Got 140 delegates there and a reserved list at the moment of people coming through. So that is proving to be a very popular and will be a very, very successful event next week. So I hope look forward to updating people on that after that event's taken place. Moving on to more conventional networking, Island Business Network, IBM, every Thursday morning here at Riverside Centre, which is the home of Vectis Radio. It starts at 6:45, so it's one for the early birds, but a good event. Been there myself on a few occasions. Alan Lim, who's been a guest on this show some weeks ago, is the contact for that one. Chamber Business Breakfast. There was an excellent breakfast last Friday at the Bourne Hall Country Hotel in Luckenham China over Shanklin Way. Really well organised. Well done to all the people over there and for the Chamber for putting that one on. Next one's at the William Coppin in Newport, which will be Friday, May the 1st. As with all Chamber business breakfasts, it's Chamber members and it's just £5 per person and well worth it. BRI Island Professionals Lunch Club is coming up. It's an event that happens every couple of months. Again, Alan Lim quite involved in organising that one. It's Wednesday, May the 13th at Lugleys in Newport. You get a really nice meal, £15. You do need to apply to go to that one. You certainly can't just turn up. Again, that's one that I frequently go to. And then finally, Alison Colley with her Isle of Wight Business Women, third week of every month, bringing Island business women together in a friendly and supportive environment. And again, to find out more of that, just look for Alison Colley at Real Employment Law.
Excellent. Okay, all going on. And next week on Business Insight, we will be chatting to Peter Tomlinson. We'll be discussing education destination. So get your questions in for Peter Tomlinson. Education destination sounds very, very intriguing. Find out more, get your questions in. Join us next Monday here on Business Insight, Vectis Radio. Now, Maggie, song. Tell us what your song is, and more importantly, why.
It's Luna George, and the song is Superstar. And I first heard it in October last year when I was doing some continuous personal development with Shah Wasmond, MBE. I don't know if you've heard of Shah Wasmond.
Very famous.
I was working with her over in Kent, and she was playing this song as one of her motivational things, and I thought, I like this. And I just like the lyrics as well. You can be a superstar in your own living room.
There you go. Positive approach.
Excellent.
This is Luna George and Superstar.